Let us now examine the church in greater detail. It is a three-aisled, barrel-vaulted basilica with three domes, a rather rare architectural type, although we come across it in two other churches in Salamis. Its interior length is 31.5 metres, including the apse, whereas its width is 14.5 metres. We know that it was built on the ruins of an earlier building, which in turn had been built over a Hellenistic Roman cemetery. As mentioned before, the architecture of the church underwent various modifications associated with Cyprus' historical fortunes. In addition to being an important place of worship, the compound also functioned as a monastery with a large enclosure and outbuildings that still stood in 1999. According to the testimonies of travellers who visited the area, the monastery cells were rented out to sailors and traders who arrived at the port, while for some time during the Ottoman occupation, those cells also served as a women's prison. It is believed that in the course of the Latin rule of Cyprus, 1192 to 1571, the church came under Catholic ownership. The Jerusalem cross, an emblem of the Latin Church of Cyprus, can still be seen above the northern entrance. According to travellers Martin van Baumgarten, 1508, and Jacques Le Sage, 1518, during Venetian rule, both the Orthodox and the Catholics held services in the church. The Orthodox used the central aisle and the Catholics the northern one, where the Latin altar still stands. A marble pulpit, subsequently converted into a font, also survived from the same period, and is now displayed at the Ecclesiastical Museum. The most significant modification was the loss of the domes, probably caused by an earthquake at some indeterminate point of time. Traveller Alessandro Rinuccini, who visited Larnaca in 1474, states that the church was in a ruinous state but still preserved its arches, columns and the three domes. Conrad Grunenberg seems to have seen the domes in 1486. A Venetian document dated 26th of January 1559 preserves a petition by Sebastian Venier, Proveditor General of Cyprus, to the Venetian Senate, whereby he requested financing for the repairs of the monument because it had sustained extensive damages and the domes and a lateral wall had collapsed. The Doge granted the request, and the work was done by Venier's successor in Cyprus, Andrea Duodo. There's no evidence confirming whether in the course of those repairs the domes were restored or simply covered as they are today. The testimony of Dutch traveller Johan van Kootwijk, or Johannes Kodovicus, who in 1589 mentions an ancient building with a roof composed of several round domes, leads to the assumption that perhaps the domes were reconstructed. It is certain, however, that in 1727, when Russian monk Basil Barsky visited the church and made a drawing, there were no domes. Various additions or reconstructions caused extensive changes to the original layout of the building. A cloister was added to the south side, consisting of pointed arches and pillars which support seven cross vaults. Both the northern and western walls underwent various modifications. On the east side, there are three apses. The central one is five-sided externally and semicircular internally. The north and south apses are three-sided externally and semicircular internally. After the 1970 fire referred to earlier, which resulted in the partial destruction of the iconostasis, systematic searches revealed useful evidence which facilitated the restoration of the monument to its original state. The plaster covering the pillars, walls and domes of the church was removed, and the original oblong and fairly low windows were discovered. The form of these windows is a common feature of Middle Byzantine churches in Constantinople, but is totally unknown in Cyprus. In its original state, the church had three entrances on the western side. The central entrance was refitted and widened, whereas the side ones were walled up. It seems that the side entrances were reopened during the Frankish rule. During the same period, in all likelihood in the 17th century, the existing windows with the low arches were opened in the north and south walls of the church. The masonry of the edifice consists mainly of limestone blocks measuring about 1 meter in thickness. Of the original marble inlay flooring, consisting of multicoloured tiles, square, rhomboid or triangular, only one section survived in the arched passages between the pillars of the church. The church was probably decorated with murals, however none has survived. The sculpted decoration is also noteworthy. It belonged to the earlier basilica and consists of early Christian capitals which today are built into the corners of the pillars. Two facts indicate that the capitals had been recycled. First, they were meant for columns and not pilasters, and second, they were somewhat carelessly and yet symmetrically inserted into the corners of the pillars. The wood-carved iconostasis of the church is a piece of magnificent craftsmanship. It was created by wood-carver Haji Savas Tagliadoro around 1773 to 1782 and was gilded a few years later, between 1793 and 1797, and again in 1972 to 1974. It comprises 8 episcopal icons, a 2-tier architrave with icons depicting the Dodecaotron, that's the feast cycle consisting of major scenes from the life of Christ and one devoted to the Virgin, the great Deesis, representation of Christ flanked by the figures of the Virgin and St. John the Baptist interceding on behalf of humanity, and the Libera, that's icons of the Virgin and St. John the Theologian standing on either side of the crucified Christ. Some of those icons were painted by Michael Proskynetis of Marathassa in the 18th century. 8 bishops, including St. Lazarus, are depicted on the beautiful gate, that's the Holy Doors, which is crowned with an image of the Holy Mandilion, whereas local saints are depicted on the deacon's doors. The frieze below the episcopal icons is artfully carved. It bears scenes from the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, Abraham's sacrifice, and hospitality, and the New Testament, Christ's birth and baptism, Noli me tangere, touch me not, and the raising of Lazarus. The bases of the iconostasis colonnettes are just as artfully carved with standing angels. The wood-carved ciborium over the altar is decorated in a similar style. In the church there are other icons as well, of which the most important is a 16th century image of St. Lazarus on the north wall near the iconostasis. An icon depicting the raising of Lazarus dates from the 17th century, whereas equally important is the icon of St. George on horseback, a 1717 work by Cretan icon painter Iakovos Moskos. A sizable volume of heirlooms is preserved in the church. Among them is the wood-carved pulpit, decorated with the symbols of the evangelists and sculpted angels. According to the inscription carved in relief on the scroll held by the eagle, the pulpit dates from 1734. The episcopal throne, the carved reliquary containing the head and relics of St. Lazarus, as well as the 2 icon stands, are equally impressive. The south stand contains an icon depicting the martyrdom of Apostle Andrew, and the north one a silver-covered replica of the Russian icon of Kazan. The bell tower of the church is an admirable structure. During the Ottoman occupation, it was strictly forbidden to ring church bells, and almost all medieval bell towers were demolished. In 1856, the famous Hati Umayun lifted the ban. Hence, most bell towers are later additions to the churches to which they're attached. Immediately, the authorities' permission was granted, bells were purchased for the Church of St. Lazarus, probably from Trieste, and temporarily placed on a wooden pedestal in an area where the bell tower was subsequently erected. The construction of impressive neo-Gothic tower with the sculpted ornamentation started in January 1857 and was completed within 10 months. The names of all those who worked for its completion were recorded in a document of that year. Let's take a closer look. The tower-like structure is a mixture of neo-Gothic and neoclassical styles. It comprises 3 superimposed cubes crowned by a conical roof. The lowest cube is the result of a refit of the superstructure of the vestry, which had been dressed with stone blocks. Each side of the middle and top cubes has 3 windows, of which the lateral ones are blind. The blind windows of the lowest cube resemble metal doors with knockers, whereas those of the top cube are ornamented with palmettes. All windows have pointed arches, with palmettes at the top. The tympana of the middle-level windows are decorated with small palmettes, whereas the tympanum of the middle window of the top cube features a two-headed eagle and the lateral ones are cross-flanked by lions. The east side of the bell tower, above the level of the roof of the vestry apse, is ornamented by a circular rosette reminiscent of the Gothic architectural elements and similar to the one above the sanctuary roof. Let us now examine the outbuildings, which were still in place until the beginning of the century and, as mentioned earlier, were part of the enclosure. Today, only the south cloister and the west building are preserved. The cells on the east side of the church were rented out to traders and sailors, bringing in a substantial income for the church. The other wings were meant for priests and the sexton. As from 1854, the sexton's room was converted into a meeting room for the church council. Nowadays, some of the cells function as the church museum, housing icons, incunabula, crosses and various heirlooms, mainly from the church itself. Many of the heirlooms from the old iconostases had been transferred to the District Museum of Larnaca in 1948 and were looted during the intercommunity riots of 1963. Some of the cells of the western enclosure of the church had been reconstructed in 1758 and functioned as the priest's office and as an official reception area. Some outbuildings survive on the west side of the church. The building of the old monitorial school, which now functions as an events venue, and the Protestant cemetery. The church council had expressed its strong interest in education, contributing financially since 1830 to the operation of two monitorial schools established in Scala and Larnaca. According to reports from that period, each priest was responsible for the supervision of several children over a period of at least 7 years, teaching them reading and writing. The wing of the St. Lazarus enclosure houses a Sunday school with a special section for the Russian Orthodox. Over the centuries, many important personalities have addressed the congregation from the pulpit of the church, among them the teacher Dimitrios Themistocleos, a disciple of Konstantinos Oikonomos from Oikonomon, a well-known scholar and cleric. In December 1856, the church council decided to fund the establishment and maintenance of a monitorial public school in the church enclosure. That school, which operated from January 1858 to 1910, survives. In 1935, the same building housed the local Larnaca Museum. Now the building has been restored and equipped with modern audiovisual systems. It functions as a venue for cultural and religious events, and also for the lectures of the Larnaca Zenonian Free University, an institution supported and promoted by the University of Cyprus, the Municipality of Larnaca, the Ministry of Education, and the Larnaca Progressive Movement. The Protestant cemetery is situated next to the school. In 1688, Dutch physician and writer Olfert Dapper reported that funeral services were held in the northern aisle of St. Lazarus for sailors who died during their voyages and were buried there. We do not know whether there were also Catholics entombed there. The inscriptions on the gravestones and sarcophagi found in the cemetery date from 1685 to 1849, indicating that the cemetery was perhaps solely for Protestants, and in particular, Anglicans. Apparently, this has to do with the establishment of the British consulate in the city and the gradual power it acquired, as well as with the need to create a Protestant cemetery, given that Catholics could also be buried in the Terra Santa monastery in Larnaca. This is also confirmed by travellers' testimonies making reference to a cemetery for English merchants. The cemetery preserves the headstones of British consuls George Barton, Michael de Vezin, and Dr. James Lilburn, and of Captain Peter Dare, commander of the ship Scipio, as well as the tombstones to the memory of some of the first American missionaries and members of their families who came to Larnaca at the beginning of the 19th century. Starting at the south side of the bell tower and of the cloister, we pass the shop selling icons and other ecclesiastical items, the storeroom and the room of the sexton, that is, the church and museum warden. All revenues from the shop are given to the parish welfare. Next we pass the church office that houses the secretariat and the accounting section, and the meeting room of the church council. On the west side, starting from the left, we pass the ecclesiastical museum, the priest's office, the synodigon, that is the official reception room, the lecture room, which in the past housed the monitorial school, and finally we come to the cemetery.